irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.
And that you are. And
hot.
I'm Michael Sterling.
Hot.
Yes, it
hot.
Is. It is hot.
It is.
What is
what's
the
what's
temp?
What's that song by Buster Poindexter?
Hot.
Remember that
yeah.
big one?
Yeah, you know? I do.
It wasn't by. It was a remake from him, but I'm showing my age by using a Buster Poindexter.
Whatever happened to him?
David Johansen of the New York Dolls.
Really?
Yes.
Whatever
useless
happened
useless crap
to
stuff stuck in my head,
why
Michael.
Is that,
can't
Paul?
Remember my own phone number, but I remember all this stuff from my wasted youth. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm super busy. Busy right now, just, you know, as we all are. But
it's a very attractive shirt.
Thank
I'm
you very
sorry
much.
We're on radio. The people can't see how lovely that shirt is.
I don't often wear something like this, do I?
No.
Not
so,
very often.
Well,
right?
No, I mean, you're always dressed nice. You're a very,
well,
very
you.
Dapper gentleman.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yes.
Thanks. I appreciate
yes.
that.
Yes. Dapper Michael.
I don't
questions
know what
get
to
harder
say.
As we continue, Michael. You know, let's
you know,
thank our sponsor,
let's
shall
do that.
We?
Yeah, let's get
I'd
off
like to
my
thank
shirt.
Our sponsor, Breakdown Service, also an impeccably dressed organization. The entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
And we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listening sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Let's throw some applause there,
yeah.
shall we?
Yeah.
Let's give them that.
They deserve that.
Nice for all these people to come.
Absolutely.
Back! Sorry. Sometimes they don't listen. Patsy Cline was one of the most popular and influential vocalists of the 20th century. Although most associated with country music, she was the first female crossover artist, also singing traditional pop, torch songs, rockabilly, honky-tonk, country swing, and gospel. The first female solo artist admitted to the Country Music Hall of Fame. They say that? Admitted to the country? Or chose? Admitted sounds like, you know, you
being committed.
Committed, yeah. Admit. They have to have a better word for that. Admitted. No, welcomed to the Country Music Hall of Fame. Let's say that. She was also included among the 100 Greatest Women in Rock and Roll on VH1, the 100 Greatest Singers of All Time on Rolling Stone, and the 40 Greatest Women of Country Music on CMT.
Which stands for?
Country Music Television.
That's correct. You're
trying
to
catch me on the air? You're
on
the
air?
You're trying to pimp me on the air? Because you know
checking.
I'm not the hugest fan of country music.
The hugest?
Well, that's a real New York thing.
Yeah,
hugest.
Really.
No H.
Well, to continue on what Paul was just saying, Always Patsy Cline is based on a real incident that occurred in 1961. Superfan Louise Seeger befriended Cline before a concert in Houston. After the show, Louise took her home, cooked her breakfast, and appeared with her on a local radio broadcast.
Much like this.
The two maintained a correspondence, writing each other letters until Cline's own untimely death in a Tennessee plane crash in 1963. Today, we are also joined by the stars of this acclaimed two-hander, but that's not all. Joining us on the phone in just a few moments, director Robert Mara will chat. There we go. Can't buy the teeth in the mail anymore. Will chat with us about the Sierra Madre Playhouse production and his experience working with these two very talented ladies who are here with us today. Please welcome Corey Cable Kidder and Nikki D'Amico.
That's a whole lot of plosives for two names.
Yeah.
It's Corey Cable Kidder and Nikki D'Amico. There's a lot of K sounds.
Yeah.
Are you related to
Margo?
Yes.
I have no idea. Margo, if you know if we're related, let me know.
Call in, Margo.
No, I have no idea. Hmm? No, I don't.
Really?
Do you
but
get
you've
asked,
been asked
that,
that
a lot?
Before, I'm sure.
I mean, like maybe 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like something everyone asks, but apparently there's lots of Kidders. I didn't grow up around any Kidders.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Very serious people you grew up around.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm so glad you
terrible.
Had that sound for yourself.
Well, I have to. If I don't provide it, no one will. Oddly enough, I'm related to Margo Kidder. Did
really?
You know?
Oh, really?
Not even remotely. And Nikki,
well.
Nikki D'Amico, I'm going to guess you're Irish.
Wrong. I'm Italian.
You're Italian.
From Texas.
An Italian from Texas.
Yes. Proud of it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You should be. Are there many Italians in Texas?
You know what? I'm not sure, but My dad's from Connecticut, a lot in Connecticut.
Oh, where in Connecticut?
Guilford.
Oh, okay. Richfield.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's where my family is. New Richfield, Newtown, Sandy Hook, the whole
area.
Oh,
I love it.
Talk amongst yourselves. We didn't talk. So anyway.
A little historical town.
It is historical. It's historical. And when I was there,
hysterical.
Yes, exactly.
I'm glad y'all can be there for each other.
Oh, just strap yourself in.
Where's my barump bomb?
No, what's that?
I wanted my barump bomb.
There you go. Well, you brought the drum. Excuse me. We got a lot to do today.
We do.
So let's hit the ground running.
Yeah, I think we should. In addition to numerous and extensive New York theater credits, our first guest has done such local productions as And the World Goes Round, Once on This Island, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Into the Woods, Chess in Concert, The Devil and Daisy May, and A Chorus Line. Also a choreographer, his productions have earned Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle, LA Weekly, Broadway World, and Stage Scene LA Awards. Please welcome the director of Always, Patsy Cline, Robert Mara.
Robert,
thank you.
He's there.
He's another Irishman.
He's back and he's bigger than ever.
He's in his pool today. He's on a float. He's got a lemonade in his hand. Aren't you, Robert?
Really?
Yes, you should only see what I look like right now.
Still in your PJs?
No, I'm not. I dress all professionally for you.
Oh, how nice.
Robert, I got it. Why are you interested? Michael, why are you so interested in what Robert's wearing?
I'm listening to this. Seriously, I just want to sit here and listen and laugh. I don't even want to talk.
Robert, I got to ask you something because I've known these ladies for all of about 18 minutes. And I'm just going to imagine that the rehearsal process with these two has just got to be the most staid, boring, low energy. I mean, please share what that was like. I've been with them for 18 minutes. I'm exhausted. In a good way. In a joyous good way. And
yes, you're getting a taste of it. You can only imagine. I mean, you've got Houston and Arkansas, and high energy, and it was pretty fun.
It's pretty fun.
It sounds it. And, you know, this is a good thing to know, though. All kidding aside, when you have a two-hander, when you have a show like this, which is just two people, you really do need two forces of nature to sort of rule the roost because, you know, it's let's face it, it's all up to them. Did you what was the audition process like? Did you know instantly? Was it sort of a dance with a lot of people, or are you not willing to share that information? I shouldn't ask that before with our performers right here, maybe.
Oh, no. They know the story. And honestly, it was a pleasure. We had an amazing turnout. We had fantastic women, and it made our job that much harder, but in a good way. And especially when it came down to casting Corey as Patsy, because we were lucky enough to have two girls. It was down to the end, and then we could not decide, so we decided to have an additional callback, and we did work sessions with both of them, myself and Sean Paxton, the musical director, and it really helped, and it made the decision clear. And I knew that I loved Nikki and Corey both from the moment they came to the audition. But, you know, it's like you said, it's a huge responsibility, and it's two women carrying a show.
Right, and how the chemistry is between them, because you could have two great performers who might not necessarily mesh. I mean, I'm not even bringing up the fact that I auditioned for this and wasn't even called back. I don't want to be rude about that, but as you know, I couldn't do it.
You had a conflict.
I had a conflict.
Yes. What was that?
I can't sing or dance. Oh, look at the time. Oh,
well, I will tell you, Robert, that you made the absolute right choice in casting these two women because I saw this play last Saturday evening, and it was something else, really. It was just sensational. The performances, the audience was so enthusiastic and just mesmerized by the performances.
And I tell you, Robert.
Thank you, Michael.
I can
absolutely.
And I'll share something with you that I have not shared on the air before. Michael and I, when we see a lot of shows here, and Michael and I will usually talk about what we've done this morning, like on Thursday mornings before the show. It is very, very rare that Michael calls me the next day to alert me to a production and say, this is a don't miss. And that was the case with this production. So that's one of those things that, you know, you don't really hear and won't go into reviews. So,
The nice thing about this, Paul, is that this production has now been extended
Oh, it
through the 27th of September.
Oh, good.
Yay. Yeah.
And I'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
No, because I wouldn't have been able to because of August, the schedule.
And they've
August
added all sorts of, I think, performances in the body of the actual original run.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually going in for Nikki the last weekend.
Oh, you cannot wait.
And then I'm going to go in for Paul.
Right, right. Yeah, Robert. Yeah, stay on the line, Robert, because I got to talk to you after we get off the air.
I can't wait.
Robert, this was your first time at the Sierra Madre Playhouse, right?
It is, yes.
What a lovely space.
The assistant director and I met about a year ago, and he was gracious and said, I really want to get you into the Playhouse. I love your work. I hear great things. And originally it was supposed to be a different show, but then he told me about Always Patsy Cline, and I said, if I can have a choice, I choose Always Patsy Cline. And he made it work, and and the rest is history.
Well, it's just the space is so beautiful, the area is so beautiful. I mean, we always talk on this program about going to theaters where you have an opportunity to actually walk from a restaurant to have dinner before and then walk
thing
to the theater.
In LA. Yeah,
and you can do that on this street. And that's what
The area is charming. And, and I've worked in a bunch of 99-seat theaters in L.A., and really, Michael, you've been there. It's just so lovely and clean, and it's a whole experience. And the venue itself is perfect for the show.
And a big, big stage, so deep, which it really helps this production. I mean, you're right in the pocket of what you imagine it all to be.
It really is a wonderful thing to go to, especially after Robert just said, the experience in a lot of 99-seaters in town. And don't get me wrong, I love them and I see productions, but a lot of times it's like, where's the restroom? It's like, well, go in the back, there'll be a dwarf. He'll hand you a cookie. Nod twice and walk through the alley. And then so a troll will ask you a riddle and give you toilet paper. This is the whole process. I mean, it's crazy, some of these theaters. It's like one restroom and there's 4,000 people. So it is, I know exactly what you're saying, Robert. We did a lot of shows in town, and then we went out to this theater out in Pasadena at the Fremont Center Theater.
Yeah.
Just so nice. Yes. Nice lobby, beautiful space. It's a pleasure to invite people to that. Not
exactly.
Only when you have a good production, but also just that the venue is that nice. Robert, if you wouldn't mind, and obviously we'll touch on this with the ladies as well, can you give sort of a little a thumbnail synopsis for some of our listeners that might not be as familiar with this show?
Sure, absolutely. Well, like you said in your description, it's based on a true story. Louise and Patsy became fast friends in no time one night at a concert, and they remained in touch for 2 years, mostly via letters and phone calls, but they did actually meet at least one more time after that. And I think they bonded because they had a lot of similarities in their life. They had a lot of hardships, a lot of troubles with men, and you'd think they came from two different walks of life, but really at their core, they were very, very similar women. And I think the friendship was beneficial to both of them. And then unfortunately, it only lasted 2 years because of Patsy's tragic end. Right. But it was something that Louise always held dear to her heart. And the show is based on her letters. And
I was just about to ask that. Did she have correspondence with the playwright, or did he just, was she still, is she still with us, or Louise? Louise passed away.
She is not. She is not still with us. But her letters and her story were used in one of the biographies that were written about Patsy. I don't remember which one exactly, but that's where
I see.
That's where Ted Swindley sort of got the idea initially for. What if we base it around this real person?
Wow. No, that's very interesting. Very anxious to see this.
Yeah, well, you really should, definitely.
Michael, would you tell, we'll say it a couple of times before the show is over, but would you throw some of that information out there?
Of course, absolutely. Happy to do that. Sierra Madre Playhouse, ladies and gentlemen, 87 West Sierra Madre Boulevard in Sierra Madre, California, which is one of the most enchanting towns that we have out here in the San Gabriel Valley, and it is ample free parking, so not to worry about high prices in town here like it usually is. And of course, as we said earlier, the show is in progress. It has just been extended because of its popularity through September 27th, and you cannot beat it for the prices. You can get a ticket for as little as $25, and on up. But it is simple to get tickets. Call 626-355-4318 or go online to the Sierra Madre Playhouse.org.
And as I said, we'll throw that information out there a couple of times before the end of the hour. But right now, Robert, we are going to relinquish you and speak to the two lovelies that we have here in the studio with us. But we thank you so much for being part of today and taking the time to call in. We're very grateful.
Thank you, Robert.
Of course. I just want to say before I go, honestly, to your listeners, you do not want to miss Corey Cable Kidder or Nikki D'Amico in these roles, really. Even if you've seen the show before, I promise you, this is the best version you've ever seen.
All right.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you, Robert. I can't wait to see
you. Because of Robert Mara.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye, you guys. Thank you so much, Michael and Paul. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
I don't like him. I don't care for him.
So testy.
Yeah,
isn't he?
You know, just what an unpleasant, snarky.
So hysterical.
And you should see his smile. Beautiful smile.
No, well, he's on our Facebook page. We have photos of all of you on our Facebook page.
Oh, my goodness.
You got that, didn't you?
What? Yes. I shared it.
Thank you for that.
To my one friend on Facebook.
I just joined Facebook
month
ago.
We're Italian.
She is using it amply, though.
I'm doing good. I do all the animal videos, mostly.
Oh.
What animal videos are those?
She's hysterical.
Precious little animal videos. Oh, okay. I love them all, but... Yeah.
Yes. Our next guest holds a BA in musical theater from, you have to help me with, Ouachita Baptist University. Normally I throw that stuff to Michael. She toured with In the Mood and performed for over a year at Tokyo Disney. Back here in LA, she appeared in The Producers and with Swing Dames, which performs the music of the Andrews Sisters. She's a proud Arkansas native and delighted to bring to life the legendary Patsy Cline. Please welcome Corey Cable Kidder. Let me find her applause here. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
How are you?
How wonderful. Yeah. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. Is this a trek for you? Where do you live right here in LA?
I live in Hollywood.
And
right?
What would that address be and phone number?
Well, you know, you can look me up on Facebook. I'm right behind the Pantages, though.
Really?
Are you? I'm right over there.
Do they make you leave at the night?
But if there's a good concert at the Fonda and it's quiet out, you can really hear the music.
Really?
Yeah, and that's like 2 blocks away. So,
Do you see a lot of stuff at the Pantages?
I'm poor.
But you know they have that lottery at the...
Oh, I didn't know that. Because I know they have a TKTS booth in New York. But
every performance.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea. Well,
you show up an hour before.
Oh,
and you
a
put
good
your
thing
little
to know.
Bid in, and then they have that lottery for $25. And it's not $25 seats. It's $25 for any seat that's available in that performance.
Oh, really?
That's so a you good can know
they
know.
Did that.
Thank you for that.
Because
tip.
I go across the street to that. There's a great restaurant right across the street attached to the hotel.
Blue Palms, right?
Blue Palms?
Well, they have good beer there, but...
Well, I want to say Daphne's or something.
Oh, that's right. It's Daphne's.
Yeah. That's at
and
the
Monica
W.
And I, little Greek. Right. And, no, I thought it was, it looks like that.
No, it's a Greek, Greek restaurant next to it.
But we always
Delphine.
Go over the, Delphine's.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. With the two drinks and bring a co-signer. But I didn't know about this lottery. It's a good thing to know.
Absolutely.
So now, have you, were you familiar, I asked Nikki about this beforehand, were you familiar with this show? Had you done it before?
No,
it's your first time doing it.
It's my first time doing it. I saw it for the first time. I was working at Stephen Foster the Musical in Bardstown, Kentucky, and it was part of like their second stage productions. And I saw a production of it then. And you know, Patsy Cline wasn't really on my radar at that point. But I thought, well, this is a neat show. And it wasn't until 2009, I had just graduated college, and I got my first professional gig out of college down in Granbury, Texas, with Mr. Mike Skiles and with Texas Family Musicals. And we were doing a Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper tribute.
Oh, wow. It's like a winter dance party.
Yeah, so what their concert should have been, or, you know.
Right.
And Mike Skiles handed me the sheet music to Blue Moon of Kentucky. He said, here, girl, sing this. I said, okay. And it was the first song.
She sounded like Elvis. Just a second ago.
Well, you got to hear Mike Skiles. I love you, Mike.
I love you too much.
And he's right here, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, come on in.
This is your line.
That was the first Patsy Cline song I ever sang, and I fell in love with it. And so from then on, he'd give me more and more. And then we started doing a Hank Williams, Patsy Cline, sort of what Hank Williams' last concert should have been. And so I would sing Patsy Cline in that, you know.
Wow.
And Mike Skiles is really good at all that kind of stuff. And and finally, I got the opportunity to audition in Sierra Madre. A very good friend of mine knows the manager, the company manager there. What's Estelle's title?
Artistic director, maybe?
No, that's Christian Lobano. But Estelle, she knows a girlfriend that's a friend of mine. And this girlfriend called me and said, "Hey, Corey, they're looking for a Patsy. You got to go in."
Wow.
And so it was like kismet. I went in and auditioned, and two callbacks later,
right? Well, like three.
They were two, but each of them was 6 days.
Yeah. It was amazing.
You know, it's amazing. The Patsy Cline, the following to Patsy Cline, there's certain voices that there are that are just as close to vocal perfection as exists. I would say the three that pop up for me would be Patsy Cline, Karen Carpenter, and Aretha.
Totally.
And I think there's a like glass quality to those. And how intimidating is that for you? I mean, you have to honor, but you don't want to impersonate. So
you
where
know
does
what?
That fall?
Before she answers that, why don't we hear her singing?
Why don't we play?
Let our audience perhaps.
What would you? Let's ask her. What would you prefer? Would you like to sing and then explain yourself, or would you like to describe your singing and then listen to it?
I think I would like to describe my singing. I mean, I'll give you a good a cappella if you want one.
No. Answer the question. If you are so inclined, and then we'll sort of
inclined.
Yes.
Oh, you see, I'm always working, and I don't even realize. It's come so natural to me.
Okay. Sean Paxton, our wonderful, talented music director.
Yes, he is.
He and I didn't even see Nikki the first three weeks of rehearsal, because Sean and I were together, and Nikki and Robert were together. And we just would listen and talk. We had all these little cymbals that we would write for her different vocal tricks, you know, when her voice broke, when she growled, when she
yodeled.
We would have all these different little marks we would make in the music. I mean, my music is just covered in these little marks. And so you're learning and you're listening to Patsy. So Patsy was playing constantly in my car. And I've always been pretty good at replicating vocal production. But, you know, to get that deep and that specific into what's going on. You know, the hardest part for me was the vocal breaks, is what we would call them. You can hear it in her music. It sounds almost, in like a layman's term, it sounds like her voice cracks, or like she's putting too much force behind the note, and therefore it distorts the note.
Right.
That was the hardest thing for me to do, because she does it so frequently. And I'm like, how do you put that effect on three notes in a row? Right. Because for me, it was hard to just even put it on one note.
Right. But that was just her language.
She was never trained. This is just the way God put it in her, and it came out.
Wow.
She got a really bad fever when she was a young child, and when she got... Well, she might have been a young teenager, and when she recovered, she told people she got this voice like Kate Smith, and so it was this fever that gave her this beautiful voice. She's never been trained in her whole life. I think she had either relative or perfect pitch, though, because she could play piano by ear and she could pick a note out, but she couldn't tell you what note it was.
Read
music.
Right.
It's incredible.
Which is sometimes more often the case than we actually know that happens with singers. Oh. Rosemary Clooney was one of those singers who, as you know, was my mentor in my lifetime about music, and she simply could not read it. She knew it backwards and forwards, and she knew everything a musician.
Isn't that amazing?
A band member was playing. if it was right or if it was wrong, based on her style.
I'm having that sense.
Yeah, let's listen to this is, Corey sing.
This is from Always Patsy Cline. Is the
actual
the name of this track? Is it
Anytime?
Anytime.
This one track has two songs, Anytime, and then it goes into I Fall to Pieces.
Okay.
Well,
maybe we'll play the first half.
Jump around.
Yeah, first half is about a minute and 20.
Let's give it a listen.
Like that.
All right, here we go. Excellent recording. Where did you record that? Sunset Sound? Or where did that...
You know, I've got to be honest with you. I recorded that in my kitchen this morning.
How patsy of you.
Yes.
I mean,
wasn't it Louise's kitchen?
Yes, it was Louise's
kitchen.
I don't know why. I'm just imagining you in a house coat. I don't know why I put you in a house coat, but it's just funnier because of your dirty kitchen. Curlers in the hair, singing, you know.
It was a lot less glamorous than that, I can tell you. It was like my dog was throwing her own ball around, and I was like, oh no, it's going to be on there. And
It's really stunning, though.
Oh,
I mean,
thank
it really
you.
Is. Yeah. Well, and what you were talking about was a little bit that we listened to those little, it's really a singing dialect. It's a dialect. It's like learning a dialect. Mm-hmm. You know, the little hiccups, and I always think of when I hear stuff like that. Unfortunately, another performer we lost far too early, Buddy Holly, had that whole sort of the little hiccups mm-hmm. that he would do, and the
Absolutely.
Little you know vocal tics that identified his music.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, beautiful, beautiful
Unbelievable.
Stuff.
That's great.
It's really a pleasure to try it and do her justice.
Well, you are.
Well, we are. When you see her in character, it's really...
In her gorgeous wigs.
Yeah.
All 10 of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
amazing.
My God, Chris.
Yeah.
A lot of wigs. Kristen.
And I'm liking the one you wore today. It's actually very striking.
You. I look okay as a blonde.
Most people can't pull off the rainbow effect, but I think it really looks great on you.
Oh, you are so sweet.
It really does.
I think the black, I mean, you know, the blue streaks
the stripes.
And the magenta really bring out my eyes.
Yeah, it does.
It does. We are talking... She's not wearing a wig, as she probably gathered. We're talking about Always Patsy Cline. This is just extended at the Sierra Madre Playhouse. That's 87 West Sierra Madre Boulevard in, believe it or not, Sierra Madre. What are the odds? For a ticket, 626-355-4318 or sierramadreplayhouse.org.
Madre.
What is Madre? Sierra Madre?
Sierra Madre.
My dad says
Madre?
Kiana.
Madre. Yeah.
You say Madre?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Treasure of the Sierra Madre, of course.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know the film, and then for some reason I got all affected with the with the playoffs.
And the invasion of the Body Snatchers, the very first one, was filmed there.
Really? Ooh. The first one?
Ooh.
Kind
of neat.
Was
yes,
the first
I love
one,
that movie.
Is the first one the Donald Sutherland one?
No, before
oh,
that.
Oh, the first one. Okay,
the first
that, was,
one.
That was a remake.
You and he ought to have lunch.
Exactly.
Like
that's a great. I love that.
Got a lot to talk.
Exactly.
And I'd like to be a fly on the wall for that.
All right. Now listen, Michael, would you introduce our next guest?
I will, happily so. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, has extensive musical theater credits, and they include the national tours of Evita, Cats, A Chorus Line, The Fantastics, Chaplin, and West Side Story, to name but a few. But most recently, she appeared with Pacific Resident Theater in the Ovation-nominated production of A View from the Bridge. She portrays Louise in Always Patsy Cline and considers the role to be a Valentine to her beloved Texas. Please welcome Nikki D'Amico.
Yay!
Paisan.
Ay, paisan. Paisan. I love being
here. Como esta, eh?
You know, I just want to say while it's on my lips here about the Ovation Awards.
Ovation,
and so forth.
Yes, the Ovation recommended.
Yes, yeah. Ovation recommended.
So exciting.
Just happened.
So exciting.
Yeah, that's a very important label to be putting on.
I know. Happened to my show, too.
I know.
Congratulations. Yes, that's very thrilling.
Well, it's expensive, but we get it done.
really? So, our check finally cleared.
Just exactly. Yeah, it takes a little while. Nikki, Italian from Texas.
I say Italian. I'm half Italian, but I just say Italian.
Which half?
My dad's Italian.
Okay. Now you say the good half.
The good half.
The good half.
Exactly.
Tell him what happened. Your dad was on his way.
Oh, well, my dad was on his way to Los Angeles out of the service when he was like 28 years old and stopped off in Houston and met my mom and never made it to California.
I was going to say, he did more than stop off in Houston.
It was a good stop off. But anyway, bless his heart.
You're speaking in euphemisms. Yeah. I've never heard stop off before.
Exactly. Anyway, but he finally got out here, thanks to me, pioneering the way. Wow. Yeah, finally.
And your mother is what?
We're not sure. She was adopted. Bless her heart. We really don't know. She doesn't know. I say Italian.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. I didn't know if there was a big Italian population in Texas?
You know, maybe. Huh? I wasn't aware of it.
Oh.
One wouldn't think so.
I don't think so.
Huh?
There was Kickerillo Homes, a developer in Houston,
Kickerillo.
Isn't that a good name?
That is.
Yeah,
Kickerillo.
Really. That's Italian.
That sounds like...
really?
Kickerillo.
Kickerillo, yeah. That's Kickerillo. That's way paisan. Yeah. So how did you start performing there? When did you leave there? When did you come here? What's your journey?
I'm old. Besides that, and my birthday's tomorrow. Oh, my gosh.
What?
But this is the best birthday gift. Thank you so much.
Oh,
to get to be on a
your birthday's tomorrow,
talk.
So you can drink finally.
I get to be... Finally. Thank you, Paul. There's that
$20. We've been waiting for the 21st birthday for a while.
But no, this is the best gift to be on a radio talk show. How fun. Anyway, I grew up in Houston, Texas. Grew up with Patrick Swayze, who I loved dearly.
Lovely guy.
Yes.
Yes, he was.
And his mom was my dance teacher forever and ever and ever.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So anyway, born and raised in Houston. Came out here a long time ago. Been here a long time. And... probably should have gone to New York because my whole experience is musical theater, but I was never that type like, New York, here I come. I had ballet scholarships to Joffrey and to Harkness.
Yeah, your ballet history is
amazing. Well, I loved ballet, but this is the crack up. I'd go in the summers. My mom was, I have the most incredible parents. God bless them, they're still living. I'm very grateful. And I called them Saint Laverne and Saint Nick, but they were amazing parents. And I would go in the summers to New York and study at Joffrey and Harkness. So I had incredible training. But the crack up is I would start ballet at like 7 in the morning and would go till 8 o'clock at night. But I'd sneak out and I'd go to jazz classes during the day when you really weren't supposed to. I was introduced to musical theater at 8, and that was instant love. And that is my life.
And you were dancing it too, right?
I was coordinated.
So envious of dancers because I can't do it, and I do it when I can learn choreography, but a choreography audition is like, I dance at a choreography audition and people come up and ask me, was that voluntary or do we need to call somebody? Are you going to swallow
your
tongue?
Your
is this something we need to be concerned about?
But speaking
shove
of
a pencil in that guy's mouth so he doesn't swallow his tongue, would you?
Probably fabulous.
No, I'm not.
But the dancing part of this role, Louise, which I'm so lucky to get to have movement and crazy fun stuff, our fabulous director, Robert, can I tell him, was always saying, Nikki, okay, you can't look like a dancer. I'm going, how do you not look like, but it's like, it is hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to just...
Well, it's like being a singer and having to sing
off pitch,
right.
That is hard.
Wow. But that's a mark of a good dancer and a good singer, is a dancer who can...
Fake it,
dancing poorly, and a singer who can fake singing.
Well, I'm just thrilled
poorly.
To get to move around.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have an accent that you had to overcome, and then is it easy to pull back for something like this?
You know what? It's funny. I think I've always had a touch of a lilt, but I think just being in shows and taking acting classes, you do get that definitely smoothed out.
Right.
But you're around anybody Southern, and then suddenly it just pops back in.
Right.
And when I'm tired, definitely that drawl will come out more, you know.
Yeah. But you were very reminiscent to me of Carol Burnett.
That's the greatest compliment. I'm so in awe of her. If I could, only pray to be a glimmer of how
well,
she is.
Well, you're more than a glimmer of
thank
that. You have that kind of innate talent about you.
Thank
so.
You, Michael. Absolutely. I'm a real big fan
lovely.
Of hers.
Yeah, it's a great balance in between Corey's, being Patsy and you being Louise. It's
well,
so lovely to look at.
Thank you. I feel so blessed to have been given this role, and I am just in heaven doing it. Love it.
You know, Paul, one of the things about this show is it's so beautiful kind of in all ways, not only from, you mentioned the wigs that Patsy wears, but also their costumes are beautifully done, and the set is beautifully done, and they've got Cricket Myers doing, you know, lighting.
Oh, yeah, my friend Cricket. We worked on a number of shows together.
Yeah, so you know her work speaks for itself.
And it's Tony nominee for Baghdad Tiger, the Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Tony nominee.
So she's all of these artistic people, Robert included, and of course,
Jeffrey Schoenberg for the costumes are fabulous.
Absolutely, and your musical director,
Mr. Sean Paxton,
awesome man that he is. He's got that 5-piece band in the back, just cooking on these numbers.
Wow.
So it's really
I'm
very
anxious
exciting.
To see this
Bodacious
one.
Bobcats.
Yeah,
adorable.
Is that
adorable.
The band?
Bodacious Bobcats.
Fancy names each one of them, which we're not going to tell you about
exactly.
that.
Won't
you have
give
to go
it
see it.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, they're sweet.
She was a fairly I don't know this to be so, but I believe that I thought I read once that Patsy was a fairly bawdy character, was a little bit sort of like one of the guys type
yes,
of thing.
Yes, absolutely. She always considers herself one of the guys because she had such, I think, trouble with men, you know, when she was very young. She dealt with some sexual abuse.
Wow.
And then, you know, Gerald Klein wasn't abusive, but he also wasn't emotionally supportive.
Okay.
So I guess he was this neutral figure
that
in her life.
That was her husband?
Her first husband. Yeah. And then she married Charlie Dick, and he was physically abusive.
Right.
And so, you know, she knew
had children,
how to,
though, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's touched on in Coal Miner's Daughter, isn't it?
Right,
They do mm-hmm. bring that up, yeah.
And
Loretta Lynn's relationship with her, yeah.
Absolutely, and that's also referenced in our show. But she always considered herself one of the guys. She knew how to hang. And one interesting thing about the Grand Ole Opry fact is that it was the first woman to be inducted, but also she was the first person to be inducted into the Grand Ole Opry by request.
Oh, wow.
She was ballsy enough to ask them. She said, I want to be in the Grand Ole Opry. Will you have me or won't you? You know? And they said yes.
Yeah, well, that's unusual, especially for that time. We have the history of her, though. Do we have any history of your character, Nikki, or is it just the letters? Or
basically, what I read online about her was the letters, and what I gleaned from what I read is that they definitely connected about that inner strength that they both had.
Okay.
They shared, and they both had tragedy. Louise lost her son. David, at I think an early age, and I believe she was married 3 mm-hmm. times, and she was just a say it like it is, just you know, no balls, no balls, no, no.
bones, no balls, about no balls
it.
About it.
That
yes.
is,
yes. Louise. So it's nice to know that Louise, by the way, wasn't transgender.
Scene.
For those that thought Louise was transgender, she's a no-balls kind of lady.
She is.
Yes.
Very ballsy. Actually, that was one of my notes. Ballsy.
We've officially said balls more on this show now than every other broadcast combined.
That's congratulations.
To this point.
You said a little irreverent.
Well, they said I was the fool to dream. So... here's
yes.
So you do have some history.
Yes, yes, yes.
You do have some history
yes.
for her.
We
okay.
definitely had homework that our director made us do, and we were very glad that we did because it
did help our performance.
Definitely, okay. definitely. So
ask me before I forget, Michael. Before the end of the show, ask me the Abraham Lincoln story with the balls. Just say that.
Okay,
Abraham Lincoln and balls, and I get a story.
Okay,
for
all right.
Reason to stick around, folks.
Well, you know, that's why you come out on a 105 degree day. Your sweaty ball story.
Oh Lord.
So yeah, that's from Saturday Night Live. It's not me. So
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
Sweaty
yes.
balls.
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
So good.
The best.
They're going to be
we're
so
still
happy
talking about balls?
When they listen. listen to this.
That documentary, I Am Chris Farley, just came out.
Yes,
I'm
about
God.
It.
I don't have I don't have cable, but if anybody wants to, you know, invite me over to watch it or whatever.
Well, the switchboard's lighting up. But I don't like these usernames.
Oh,
that's all
no.
I'm saying. Oh, sorry. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. So this role for you,
yes.
It's distinctly different from your role in The View from the Bridge, apparently. Because I saw your work there, and it was pretty
astounding. I was basically a mute. In A View from the Bridge, I was telling Paul before we went on the air. Do you say on the air when you're on a radio show? Is that called on the air? On the air.
We are.
And I was
don't
want to
lose you in the jargon.
Exactly. I want to be right in the jargon. So... I was saying that the crack up is 2 years ago I was in this another award nominated show at the Pacific Resident Theater of a beautiful production of A View from the Bridge and I played Mrs. Lipari. However, I had no lines. Now, as Louise Seeger in Always Patsy Cline, I have 5,000 lines. So it's from but anyway, yes.
Do you have understudies either of you?
No. I mean, Robert threatened us, but...
No!
threatened to be your understudy?
It was a big joke. You know, he'd say, oh, well, we got the other Patsy waiting.
Right.
So, you know, it was just a big... Right. It was so hysterical.
So that's what that email he sent me was.
Right.
Okay. But no, asking about my dress size.
I mean, part of me is so shocked that we don't, because it's such an amazingly intricate and heavy load. Right. You know, the show is uplifting in itself, but, you know, 27 songs, 2 hours of dialogue.
Wow.
But you don't feel that it's been 2 hours.
No, no.
It's just,
right? It's
pacing. Directed
good.
So well.
It is.
And Robert
sense.
Was not lying about the talent that came into that audition. I mean, I wanted the part. I thought I was good for the part, but, you know, any one of those ladies could have just snatched it
well,
right
up. Well, you know, and that's very kind of you to say, but obviously there was something that you had, and obviously it not only your talent and ability, but also Nikki's and how you mesh together.
Because
it sounds to me like that is as important an element in this show as any individual performance.
Were there character reads? Did Robert have you?
We didn't read together, but we did sing together.
We did sang the cigarette.
She and I didn't do that one together. We got paired up with different Patsy's and Louise's for each song.
Okay.
So Louise and I. Nikki
oh, Louise
and I,
sings too?
She oh, well, sort of. Like a little.
Give it away or anything.
Just a little snippet in there.
But we auditioned on Blue Moon of Kentucky together. And I think our aunt, they could tell we had chemistry already.
Nice.
It was very fun.
I saw this tiny little person and she said, can we practice? About seven times she said that. Can we practice? Can we practice?
Because harmony, whenever I do a harmony, I have to learn it like the melody. Got to know that harmony like the melody. Let's practice.
It paid off. And she was hysterical. Like, I mean, I was just, I laughed.
I'm sure all the other people that auditioned for Louise were brilliant. However, I was just so into my own, like, I was saying those lines outside of the theater. I was nonstop, just pacing
she
up and down.
She was the only one not in the waiting area.
Well,
where's that one?
You know what, though? I'm the exact same way.
Right?
I can't. Everyone's sitting and
zone.
Being cool, and I'm outside. Meow, 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 meow,
yes,
meow,
yes.
Meow, meow, meow. Take me to my happy place. Take
yes.
me to my happy place. That's me, man.
You actors.
I am. Well, you know, but they
best
say that, that
it
that's it helps.
I can't
you know?
Be distracted.
And just the people, I don't understand how people can like they'll be on their cell phone
yes.
all the way up until they walk in the room.
Yeah.
It's just like, how can you?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
There's a thing called a moment before and all that stuff.
No,
you know?
You know
so
craft.
You're in a big hit show and you have a new romance in your life too.
Oh, I do.
Tell us about
his
that.
His name is Michael, too.
Yes.
Yes, we like that name, Michael.
Yes.
Hi, Michael. I bet you're listening.
Hi, Michael.
No, it's a
did
very
you meet
romantic
him here
story.
In Los Angeles? Yeah, tell us.
We met when I first moved to Los Angeles. Do I say how many years ago? A very long time ago. He was my first boyfriend. And then, like, about 30 years passed. And
oh, wow.
We just got back together a year ago.
And how did wasn't there That's something wonderful. Interesting about the process of how that happened?
Well,
are there slides or a PowerPoint you can share with us?
Because I'm not real tech savvy, but I just Googled his name up, and I just all his little credits of he's just been had a wonderful career in advertising and copywriting and just these major credits appeared. I went, oh my gosh! Well,
and did you?
And I just emailed him, went, remember me? And then we just got back together. And,
so what prompted you to remember that about him and the fact that
now
he was
my
here.
Sad story no no well I just he just literally just his name came across my mind. I went, whatever happened to, I'll say his name, Michael Albright, and there He was on my iPhone.
Wait a minute. Oh, Michael Albright?
Do you know him?
He owes me money.
Other than my grandmother,
I hope he's listening.
Michael is the biggest fan of our show.
Oh, yeah. He's the best.
Is he an every night
type of
guy?
Oh, yeah.
He's
very
a good sweet man.
He
yeah.
really liked you very
oh,
much.
Oh, he's lovely.
Very much. We're
going
to go to the federal.
Oh, good.
Can't wait.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good person. He's well, my Louise.
Congratulations on that. And that's actually very similar to the second guest we had, the Carol Channing story with her husband. Isn't it very
that's
similar?
That's right, yes.
That they met early and then they
She wrote
lives,
about him in a book.
And she wrote about him in a book and then he got
oh,
back in touch
wow.
with her.
Well, and through a mutual friend who is the man that owns Marshalls and Mervyn's.
Oh, my gosh.
And Mervyn's, I think. Fancy. And he called the fellow and said, you know, she's mentioned you in the book. You should look her up.
Oh.
He said, I have no idea where she is. And he said, I do. And that's how that happened.
Incredible. I love stories like that.
Yeah.
I do love stories like
and that's
that.
Funny. And that's how I started dating Martha Ray.
No.
Oh. Let's go on.
Do you think if I write a book about Chris Hemsworth, I
yeah,
know
there you go. Yeah.
Never know.
You never know.
You about, just put it out there in the universe. So.
It's that time, ladies. It's five.
You went by
no, no,
too
no, no,
quick.
No, we got 5 minutes left. We got to ask
this
you
is,
about
we're
your nightmare performance stories.
Oh, God.
You've
got a million of them.
And while you think about it, I'm going to tell my Abraham Lincoln story.
Oh, yes, okay, yes, do that.
This is the
do
story.
That.
Abraham Lincoln was touring Civil War hospitals with Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Right.
And she went to a soldier who was laying in bed, and he was all wrapped up, and that soldier had had one of his testicles shot off. And he's laying there in bed, and she can't obviously see the injury because he's all wrapped up. And this is in Lincoln's notebooks. Harriet Beecher Stowe says, "And where were you injured, soldier?" And he said, "Well, Miss Stowe, let me put it to you this way. If the bullet hit you exactly where it hit me, it would have missed you entirely."
That is
Isn't
hilarious.
That great?
What a very
that
diplomatic
That's a
way
good
to
one.
Is it?
That.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, nightmare story. I got a million of them. Let's see. The one that comes first to my mind is, it was a nightmare for me. When I was doing Evita at the Schubert, in that very opening scene, everybody's in black. It's the funeral. And we're going around that coffin, right? That slow step. Bump, bump, bump. The stage manager is right there in the wing. Don't ask me why. What was I thinking? I had on, mistakenly, my Buenos Aires red top with my black. Somehow, I was in the wrong.
Someone's a little too happy she did it.
In a sea of black, here's me in my red, and I see the stage manager going.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. That was a nightmare. I could have been fired.
And
I really could have
it's
been
a
fired.
Line from, it's a line from Moonstruck, too. And when you die, I'll go to your funeral in a red dress. She
see?
Says that, yeah.
Okay, that's
hysterical.
My...
Call
can you
believe pulling
it?
Focus.
Hysterical.
Yeah. Talk
exactly.
about it, right?
Red dress. What do you got?
I was in high school doing playing the witch in Into the Woods. And my dad went out into the woods and got this staff for me to use. And he would cut it about halfway through here and then about an inch, like a half inch lower, cut it halfway through the other way. So that there was probably like a half inch holding the full thing together.
Okay.
So there's a part in the show where she loses her powers. I think it's when she becomes beautiful again. And so I was supposed to break this staff over my knee in the middle of the show. And I almost broke my leg.
Wow.
Because
he didn't.
It wasn't sawed through enough.
Oh.
And so I raised that thing up and hit it against my knee. And I just, oh, yes. You know, you try to ad lib something and you just like hobble away. Like, I don't. No, I think I had a bruise about this big.
How does a witch with all those powers need an ace bandage?
I don't, you know,
what's
it was
that
pretty
about?
Terrible. I thought, that's oh, I genius. Think that there must be, like, bleeding.
Oh,
but
wow.
I was fine. It was just a flesh wound.
Oh, just a flesh wound.
I, like, hurt thinking about it. Oh, my God.
Any injuries on stage for you? You said you had a bunch. I mean, a bunch of stories.
Kind of sad. It was kind of like, kiss today, goodbye. In doing Cats, I did tear my right ACL.
No.
It's never been repaired. However, but I've forged ahead. Did 5 companies of Chorus Line after. But yeah, but no, that was like a major, some football player.
Wow. Yeah, the ACL. That's
who did
that's
you play in the Chorus Line?
Morales, I did 5 companies of it.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Fantastic.
Show. If I could have ever done one show.
Robert, that's
I know he did.
Show.
We've talked about that. That's right.
Yeah.
We share that for sure.
And of course, we've talked about the production of Cats that I did, which was it's spelled differently. It's K A T Z.
Oh, right.
All the different deli meats have their own songs. Anyway,
we should remind people one more time for the last time, Sierra Madre Playhouse, 87 West Sierra Madre Boulevard in the city of Sierra Madre, California, adjacent to Pasadena and in the San Gabriel Valley. Free parking behind the theater, and it runs this beautiful, beautiful production through September 27th.
What a joy having both of you on here. This was a great time. You have to fly out of here because you have more. You have all. I'm talking to Nikki now. She has so many plates spent.
Thank
She's
you
so, busy.
So much.
What are you doing? What are you flying out?
There's a commercial audition.
Yeah, oh, go, 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 go.
But ladies, both of you, what a pleasure having you on. I can't wait to go see this production. I'm really
I wish we could be in something else. We'd have an excuse to come back, right?
It's,
if
you're
you ever
always
need a
welcome.
Co, we're available. Co-host.
Oh, okay.
Make sure you go to CoreyCableKidder.com if you want to chat and say hello.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
CoreyCableKidder.com. Good.
Thank you so much. I asked you to say that. No, and I didn't remind you.
Plug.
Normally I do that. No, please.
I'll get one soon.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies.
I would get one with a different domain name, though. I'm sorry.
She can have Corey Cable Kidder, too. Corey Cable Kidder.
Okay. I'm sorry. A pleasure, ladies. Nice to meet you both.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your show. Michael,
as
always, very fun.
Thank you, Paul. Yes. See you on the radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.